Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to travel safely here and to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, may we remember this morning that it's about you and not about us. And may we give you praise and glory through it all. And Father, we thank you for the offerings as well. May we use it for your glory and not our own. We pray for all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand and worship this morning.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who hears. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in his place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. We shout out your praise because he brings us joy. You know, this is that moment where we set aside to pray for those that are lost in our community each and every week, where we lift them up by name, not just in thought, but by name. Each and every day, we're called to lift up to the three people that we know that need Jesus in our lives, those that are walking around that don't know him. And we know God can work miracles, that he can transform lives. We're not the ones who do it. It's Jesus who does it. And as we've been reminded over the last couple weeks, we're called to spread the seed. We're just called to be the light, and God does the rest. And we know quite a few people came to know Jesus last year that were on the My3, including people that nobody ever imagined would. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget to lift them up each and every day. So let's take a moment this morning. And as we bow our heads and we pray for them, I want to encourage you to pray for your My3 on your own. And then we'll close us out together. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you love each and every one of us. Father, we know that you want no one to go without knowing you and coming to relationship with you. Lord, we all have loved ones that are walking around. And Father, they're lacking that joy that you can bring. Father, they're walking around blindly. And Father, we know that you can help them see clarity. Lord, we ask that you continue to work on the hearts and the minds of each one of these people being lifted up this morning. Father, I pray that each one of us would have the wisdom to share when we need to share and to listen when we need to listen. Lord, that we would trust in you for all of this in our lives. Lord, we thank you in advance. We know you've answered many prayers already. And Father, we know there's more coming. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul must sing.
my soul must sing. You live for one. My soul must sing. My soul must sing. My soul must sing. You live for one.
searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father.
Amen. We have a good, good father, that is for sure. Good morning, church. Who's excited to be here this morning? I know I am. So you guys may have noticed Pastor Kerwin wasn't here this morning, so I want to thank John and all them for just rocking it out anyways for us. Today is Pastor Kerwin's daughter's 18th birthday, and his birthday's Tuesday. So if you see him later this week, make sure that you tell him happy birthday. I want to welcome our guests here this morning, and I also want to welcome those who are joining us online in the radio. We're really glad that you could come and join us. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability for us to join together and to take a look at your word. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, I ask that if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Father, we also know that your word is sharper than any double-edged sword and can penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Lord, we ask that you break through even the hardest of hearts this morning. Father, you know who is seeking you. Father, you know who needs you. And Father, we all need that reassurance at times. And we trust in you for that. Lord, be with us through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series. You know, we've been looking at some of the parables that Jesus has been teaching us for the last couple of weeks. We've been over in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to continue there this morning. You know, over the last couple of weeks, as we've looked at chapter 4, we've seen Jesus teach us several different things throughout the entire thing. You know, the first week, we saw Jesus explaining to us how we're called to be sowers of the seed. It's this idea that we're called to go out and present the gospel to the world around us, to be bold about it. And he's reminded us in the text that it's not for us to decide who is worthy to hear God's word. It's not for us to decide who is worthy to hear the gospel. Instead, we're called to be to hand it out freely everywhere we go. That God is the one who prepares the soil. He's the one who prepares the hearts and the minds of the people to hear what he has to say. Yet not everyone who hears that message is going to accept it. Not everyone, every seed that is planted will grow. Some will hear it and receive it, yet others will quickly wither away because they didn't count the cost beforehand. They didn't have a firm foundation. They didn't have good soil underneath. Some others will hear it and accept it, and they will let the circumstances of their lives cause them to fear and stop trusting God altogether. They allow the world around them to choke out their faith. Oh, they may know the words to say and present themselves as Christians, but deep down, they have no foundation for their faith. They have no actual relationship with the Creator. And lastly, we were reminded that others will hear the gospel and go out and proclaim it to the world around them, sowing their own seeds and sharing the gospel wherever they go, and they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. Last week, we were reminded that we were called to be the light in the world, showing the love of God everywhere we go, not just spreading the gospel, but allowing God to shine through us, to not hide the fact that we're Christians, but make it front and center of our lives, remembering that Jesus is to be proclaimed to the world around us. And when we do that, the devil and his minions have no control. They have no ability to overcome that light. They may try, but ultimately, Jesus always wins. But we have to remember that we need to refill that light on a regular basis by being in his words, by being in full relationship with Jesus through prayer and seeking him in all that we do. And don't get me wrong, I know the last couple of weeks have been challenging. Jesus' words are truly pushing us. They're pushing us to go further in our relationship and how we present ourselves to the world around us, really pushing us to share our faith, not just when it's convenient or where it fits into certain areas of our lives. He's calling us to do it in everything we do, in all areas of our lives. We're not to be ashamed of our faith. Instead, our faith should be in the center of our lives, that everything we do should be for the glory of the King. It's about the Great Commission. It's about making disciples that turn around and make disciples, ones that go out and share as well, always looking for that one more person that needs Jesus and offering them hope that can only be found through him. I believe most of you here want to do that. I think there's a desire within our community that have this heart's desire to represent God well to the world around us, to each and every person that we run into throughout the week, to lift up the name of Jesus and be a light in our community. And as much as we want to do that at times, it also feels like a daunting task to always be on mission. It's one that seems to bring a heavy burden often onto us. And I believe that often happens because it doesn't always seem to happen quickly the way we want it to. It doesn't always, people don't just immediately go the way we want them to. Oh, we have the moments when we seem to grab that low-hanging fruit. You know, those people that we come across who seem eager to hear the gospel. You know, I've had that happen where I share Jesus with somebody, they repent, they turn to Jesus, and they become saved quickly, basically on the spot. And it's an amazing moment, but those moments are rare. Those moments can seem like a lifetime apart. And what we don't often know is the work that happened beforehand. We just happened to be there when the fruit was ready. You know, it can get a little frustrating at times. Like, why wouldn't someone want Jesus right now? Like, why wouldn't they want that? Like, don't they understand who he is? Don't they understand that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the universe, everything comes through him. He's the one who put this whole world into motion. He's the one who made a way where there was no other way. And he wants a relationship with us. Think about that. He wants us to have a joy and to have it abundantly. He wants us to have a relationship with him. Yet, they're still not sure they want that. And man, is that a heartbreaking moment when you hear that? Is that a heartbreaking moment when someone doesn't get it? And we're thinking to ourselves, if only they understood the goodness of God. If only they understood the love that he has for them. How different would their life be? Because we know that he's the one who transforms lives. But the truth is, not everything is low-hanging fruit. People don't always respond right away when they first hear the gospel, at least not the way we want them to. Sometimes they scoff, sometimes they play it off, sometimes they say, that sounds nice. But just as we have been reminded over the last couple of weeks, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to plant seed. We shouldn't allow that to discourage us. We shouldn't stop letting God's light shine brightly to the world around us just because of that. We need to remember that God is the one in charge of the harvest. He's the one that does the forgiving and draws them in. And sometimes it takes time for the crops to grow. That's what we're looking at in the parables today. Jesus is reminding us how God does the work in the background, often when we don't even understand how he's doing it. So let's take a moment this morning and read through the first part of the passage that we're going to be in. We're going to look at verses 26 through 29 here at first. And it reads, "The kingdom of God is like this," he said. "A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprout and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then the full grain of the head. As soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come." Just as in previous week, Jesus explained spiritual truths by using parables. In this parable, he's using farming again. Yet this time, he's talking about what happens after the seed is planted. We've looked at the seed being planted, and today we're looking at what happens after it's planted. It takes time for a seed to grow. It doesn't just pop up overnight. If you plant the seed today, is there a full crop tomorrow? No, that's not how it works. It takes time. This principle applies for someone's faith as well. It doesn't pop up overnight. It takes time. I mean, just look back on your own faith. Look back over the years. How has God shaped you? How has he molded you? How has that growth been throughout that time? Are you the same place you were 10 years ago? Are you the same place you were 20 years ago? It took time for God to help get you to where you are today. It takes time for someone not only to find God at times, but them to grow into mature believers. So let's break down this passage starting with verse 26. And it states, "The kingdom of God is like this," he said, "a man scatters seed on the ground." Jesus is reaffirming everything he's been teaching us to this point. He's reminding us that our job is to go out and plant seeds to the world around us, to not give up. This man represents us. This is our job, to go out and share the gospel message. That is what we're called to do, all of us. None of us are better than the other when it comes to doing this. Each and every person, no matter what other giftings you have, is called to share the gospel. And he doesn't say to go out and plant seeds only in certain grounds. He's not telling us to go and plant seeds in areas that we like or the areas that we think are ready. No, he's saying to go out and plant seeds on the ground. That means everywhere. Everywhere we go. And you know, often we can start wondering what effect that our planting seed is having. Are the seeds that we're scattering even growing? But that's not for us to be concerned about. We're simply called to go and share the gospel message to the world around us. That's what we're called to do. And it tells us in verse 27, "He," being us, "sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how." You know, after we plant the seed, we don't always know how it'll grow. We don't often see how it sprouts up overnight. But in time, it begins to take shape. Even when we don't understand how it's happening, the seed starts to take shape. Let me give you guys an example of a story from my own life. You know, I have a dear friend back in Indiana. a very close friend. There's a lot of things that we've done together. We basically grew up together. And I told him, when I went to him and I told him that I had accepted the call to ministry, that I'd said yes to Jesus, he gave me a little bit of a funny look. But we had this relationship. We had this time together. We worked together throughout many things. And what I did is I explained what God was doing in my life, and I shared my story. I was planting seeds inside of it. And I continued to let the light of Jesus shine from my life, praying that God would do a work in his life. And over time, I started to see a shift in him. It wasn't something that happened the next day. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It took time. I started seeing God do something new in him. Suddenly, he started going to church again. And he grew up in the church. He knew that, but he started going to church. He started taking his family to church. And they started having this more and more time. He started volunteering in the church. And over time, it became clearer and clearer. He found Jesus. But this wasn't an overnight shift. This is something that took time. This took time of God working inside of his heart. And I remember asking him, what brought about that change? What made you want to look to Jesus more now? Because he had never really expressed interest in it. Oh yeah, God is good, you know. Yep, Jesus is good. He had all of that. He grew up. He knew the words to say, but he never lived it out. And there's this transformation. And I asked him, what was it? And his answer rocked me. He said he had started watching my life and how my life had been transformed by God. He started watching what Jesus was doing because he's known me since I was a little kid. He knows me very well. But then he watched what God was doing in my life. See, I planted the seed and God was bringing the harvest. God was the one doing the work in his heart. There's nothing I could do. I could just be a light inside of that moment. And that's what God's reminding us here. We don't understand how that growth happens. We don't understand what puts it all together, but God does. And though it wasn't in my timing, it was here, his. Church, our job is not to change people. Our job is to share Jesus with the world around us. Sharing the work that he's done in our lives, being that example, because he's the one who brings the harvest. We're called to let our light shine, remembering that Jesus is the one who's going to transform lives. He's the one who's going to do the work. He continues in verse 28, and he says, the soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain on the head. You know, we know the farmer's job is to plant seeds, but he's not the one who makes it grow. You cannot force a seed to grow if it doesn't want to grow. Can't do it. It's the same thing with us. We are the ones to go out and plant the seed of faith to the world around us, to present the gospel to the world around us. But we cannot make people choose Jesus. Let me restate that. We cannot make people choose Jesus. As much as we want them to, we can never make someone. If you don't know Jesus here this morning, nobody can make you believe and trust in him. That is a choice that you have to make on your own. No matter how much we know that Jesus would transform someone's life, no matter how much we know that God loves them, it's only them that can make the choice. It is only you that can make that choice to follow Jesus. No one else. You know, the Bible tells us, and that can be challenging because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is more deceitful than anything else, and incurable. Who can understand it? That's a hard one. If the heart is more deceitful, then how can someone choose Jesus? But you see, it's only God that can understand the heart of man. He knows why you do the things that you do. He knows the struggles that you face. He can understand things better than you or I ever can, and he knows the heart of the person who is out there lost. He knows that if we are left to our own choices, we will fail over and over. But you see, when we plant that seed, when we present Jesus, when we're the light in our community, he takes care of the growth. He works in ways we will never fully understand. The closest thing that I can think of to understand is what Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 44, where he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, when that seed is planted, God draws it out. He calls his people to him. He helps that seed grow. And yet at times it feels like it takes forever for us to see the growth, right? We know those people that have heard the gospel so many times. But just remember earlier in the last year, we had someone who had been prayed for 30 years to come to know Jesus. And they said yes to Jesus. It takes a long time. And the Bible reminds us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You know, sometimes it feels like forever for that crop to grow. Sometimes it feels like forever for someone to come to the point of knowing Jesus. And we can start wrestling with it, and we try to rush God. How many in here have ever tried to rush God? Because I know I'm guilty of that one. There's a story I read this week about a young boy. He had a science project, and he wanted to see how long it would take for a seed to grow. That was his science project. And after several weeks, nothing happened. No sprouting, no growth, no nothing. And we may wonder why. Was it a bad seed? What happened? Why would the seed not even begin to grow, even begin to come up? You see, the reason was this young man kept interrupting the process. So each and every day, he wanted to see if the seed had grown. So what did he do? He dug up the seed, he handled the seed, checked it out, and then planted it back in the ground. Each and every day. He didn't trust the process. He planted the seed, but he was impatient and constantly interrupted the growing process. Constantly stepped in. He didn't focus on watering it. He didn't focus on making sure it had sunlight or anything like that. No, he wanted it, and he wanted it now. And it didn't work out. You know, we become guilty of this ourselves. We don't always trust God to do the work inside of a person. We believe it's taking too long. So what do? We start digging around that seed. And instead of watering it, instead of letting our light shine to grow, we keep handling it over and over and keeping it from being able to grow. Folks, we need to remember this morning that God is the one who does the work and causes the seed to grow, even when we don't see it. He's the one taking care of it. We should not give up hope, no matter how long it takes for someone to say yes to Jesus. We should never give up that hope. That's why we have the My Three. That's why we're called to daily take these people and lift them up to our Savior, because we know he's the one who's going to transform them. We've planted the seed. Now it's time to do the watering and making sure they see the sunlight. They see that through each one of us. They'd see it through the watering by us praying for them. And then God may draw them up, and that they may be ready to truly hear the gospel and may even become that low-hanging fruit that's ready inside of that moment. You know, Jesus reminds us in verse 29 that as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. You see, the right time, the harvest will come, and God is the one who brings the harvest. We simply need to plant the seed. We need to be the one who plants the seed. Paul explains this actually quite well in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, when he says, What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants from whom you believe, and each has the role the Lord has given them. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. We get to be God's co-worker in this process. We get to witness the harvest. We may not be the one who brings up the plant, but we are the ones who also get to see the lives transformed. We get to see the evidence of the seeds planted and watered. What amazing is that? That God would design us to work with him in this. What an honor it is to witness such things. But we have to be willing to slow down and let God work at his own time. We have to be willing to slow down and let God do his thing in the midst of it. But man, can we become impatient? We really are. In our culture today, we want everything right now, don't we? We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait on God's timing. Did you know if you don't have Amazon Prime to get the item next day or 2 days later, you can actually get it 5 days later and it doesn't cost you any extra? You don't pay the monthly fee for it. But how many people, guilty of this myself, have Amazon Prime so that you can have it in 2 days? Right? That's what we do. It's like that old J.G. Wentworth commercial. You guys remember that? It's my money and I want it now. You know, they don't want to wait for those settlement checks to come out. And we don't understand how much we lose when we don't wait. We don't understand how much we lose when we don't wait. It's kind of like diet and exercise. When someone tells you that it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there, you know, that you're going to have to go, you're going to have to work out daily, you're going to have to watch your diet, you're going to have to take all of these times through, you know, and in about a year from now, you're going to see some really good results, but you're going to have to be consistent. You're going to have to work for it. Most people don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, do they? Right? We want to stay away from that. Yet, when we hear 30 days to rock hard abs, man, give me the credit card, give me the phone, I'm calling it up, and it's coming in, right? But, you know, that's really hard to do when we've got 30 years of potato chips in us. I just think about that for a minute, okay? It's the culture we live in. Yet, that's not how God works. God's got his own time. He's got his own way, and we're not called to rush him. And we start wondering if we're even making a difference because of that. We start wondering, are we really having an impact on the world around us because the change is slow? See, we know that God takes time. We know that he's the one who brings the harvest. But what do? We try to rush everything. And so we start wondering and we start questioning ourselves, is our ministry even making a difference? Is anything going on that's actually changing the world around us? We don't have thousands of new people coming to Christ every year here at the church. We don't have thousands of new people coming to Christ all the time around us. But you know what? We do have new people that are coming to Christ inside of the church. We have children that are being trained up in the ways of the church and at home. We have families and lives being transformed throughout it. And all it takes is that little seed for it to happen, for us to learn to be obedient in the midst of it. You know, Jesus tells us in verses 30 and 32 this morning that, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. You know, a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. It is just absolutely tiny, yet it grows into a great big plant, a big bush, some people call it. But there's branches and other things on it, and the birds can actually come and nest in it. It provides shades for the animals around it, and it grows into something no one would expect from such a small thing. You know, oftentimes we wonder if our ministries are making a difference. We wonder if our sowing the seeds is making a difference in the lives around us. Sometimes when we're planting seeds, we have no idea what it's going to grow into. We have no idea the work that God is doing on the back end of it all. Stuff that we can't understand. How many in here have ever heard of a man named Edward Kimball? Odds are most of you have never heard that name. Let me tell you who he is. Edward Kimball was a boys' Sunday school teacher. Bless him already. He had a whole class full of little boys. And that was a task in and of itself. But see, Edward, he was the Sunday school teacher, and he made it his mission that each one of those boys would come to know who Jesus was on his own. He was dead set. He prayed for these boys. He constantly was telling them over and over who Jesus was and trying to help them through. And you see, Edward, he had this young man inside of it, inside of this group that did not seem to understand the gospel no matter how much he tried. But he was determined he would win this young man to Jesus. And this young man's name was Dwight Moody, the founder of Moody Bible Institute and Moody Publishers. Moody Radio, all the others. He was found fundamental in it all. But that's not it. That's not enough. Moody went on to preach to hundreds of thousands of people around the world, didn't he? He spread the gospel everywhere because this one man planted this one little seed in a Sunday school class and never gave up. But here's where it gets even cooler. The story doesn't end there. See, Moody's teaching went on and he taught another young man who came to know Jesus. His name was Wilbur Chapman, who went on to preach to thousands as well, including Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a baseball player who left baseball to become a preacher to teach everybody about Jesus. And through Billy Sunday's teaching, there was another young man that came to know Jesus, and his name was Mordecai Ham, that came to know Jesus. And you guys know who Mordecai Ham was? He was the man that led Billy Graham to Jesus. This whole thing started with simply somebody in a Sunday school class having a desire to make sure that his entire class got to know who Jesus was. He didn't look at how big the field is that he was supposed to plant. He didn't look at all this other stuff to make himself pass. He made it his mission. This is where God planted him, and he took care of it. That's what we're all called to do the same. That's why we're called to go out and plant and be the light in the community around us, because we have no idea how big God is going to make that plant. We don't understand the future and what God has in store. But imagine if that one Sunday school class, that one teacher had said, nah, we're just going to leave it alone. He planted seeds. Edward Kimball planted that seed in a young man's heart, not giving up and having no clue on how far it would go. Folks, our job is not to worry about the thousands, but it's the worrying about planting seeds in the field that God has given us. That's our community and things around us. Planting seeds for the sake of Christ. Remembering that God is the one who brings the harvest. And we get to partner with him through it all. How amazing is that? Praise God for that. You know, Mark finishes up this section of the passage in verses 33 and 34 this morning. And he says, he was speaking the words to them with many parables like these, as they were able to understand. See, Jesus was planting seeds as well. He's our Savior, but he was also a teacher here on earth. And he was giving us examples of how we can plant seeds to the world around us, how we can pray for others, how we can plant to everything around us. And he did it through parables, and parables are things that people could understand that also pointed back to God. Folks, use the world around you to explain Jesus to the truth. Explain Jesus to the world. We're reminded that passages in this passage, that there are many more parables than are recorded. I'd love to hear what those are, and I'm sure one day Jesus will tell us. But we really should follow his model when it comes to sharing our faith, is planting seeds, is to engage people where they're at and point them back to Christ. As we wrap up this message this morning, I want to encourage you to never give up hope for the lost around you. I want to encourage you to always be planting seeds, because we don't know what those seeds will grow into. We don't always understand how God brings that harvest, and we don't know what kind of impact we'll have to the people around us. Can you imagine Edward knowing how that little seed grew into what millions of people heard Jesus through that one person that he planted the seed? I can assure you, if we're being faithful to Jesus, he's working in the lives of the people around us, and he's the one who brings the harvest, and we can trust him on that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your words and the examples that you've given us. Lord, may we trust you to bring the harvest. May we understand sometimes the growth takes time. But Lord, may we never stop planting seeds everywhere we go, knowing the impact that you can have with each seed that is planted. Father, we thank you for all of this in advance. We thank you for your words and your love that you have for us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where can I go but to the cross, to the cross? For there my shame you have washed away. Where can I go but to the cross, to the cross? Where can I go
As you prepare to go out this week, I want to encourage you to remember to be bold in your faith. That it's not just about coming together on Sunday mornings, but we're called to plant seeds everywhere we go, letting the light of Jesus shine bright through each of us, remembering he's the one who brings the harvest and that we trust in him, because even this tiniest seed, God can do miraculous things with. God bless, guys. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.